What's happening? Wow, it's 7 o'clock. What just happened with the clock, Shafe? I don't know if we've ever gotten back this fast.
Spring it forward?
I don't think we're running as many spots today since it's the end of the month.
Okay, I figured because we're getting close to the fourth. And
yeah, because I looked at our breaks today and went, wow, I'm not used to this. So you know what you have more time to do today, Jason?
Blow V8.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know that anybody benefits from that.
I didn't say it was a good thing. I just said you had more time to do it.
More cars for kids, less J-Mart.
Oh, thank goodness I haven't heard that this morning.
Oh, there's time. There is time. Kay Oldham said,
we know where you can go if life gives you an uh-oh, for sure.
Better get Mike.
We just leave it at that. Let's leave it at that.
Kay Oldham, who called me a radio slug, then said, all in good fun, I'm buying 3 pair for the weekend. So I can fit. So they said, so I can fit in. So I'm like, wait a second. Are you taking another shot by saying so I can fit in?
That's correct.
Abby, oh, yeah. Here's a question for you, Kayla. Kayla Anderson, by the way, is in for Ramon today.
Sup.
You sound like the Sesame Street aliens when we were talking about Sesame Street yesterday on the show.
Who are you?
We're talking about top 5 Sesame Street characters. This is my life now.
I can see this.
I mean, it has to be. And we were just trying to figure out where people were. Mm-hmm. On their Sesame Street rankings, and if everybody was pretty much down on Elmo.
Well, that's what I was wondering, if that was it.
It really wasn't because of Elmo. It was just, I was just suggesting that Grover is rock solid and ages well. Grover and the Count.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan of the Count.
You don't like Cookie Monster?
We like Cookie Monster, but we also described that Seth MacFarlane ruined Cookie Monster for everybody.
Forgot about that.
The heroine.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. We watched it after the show because we had to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But who would be your Sesame Street character of choice?
Well, I like the cookie. I do, just because I am obsessed with eating cookies.
How is there not a donut monster?
I'm going to create a character.
Or perhaps that's you.
That's going to be my new character. Sesame Street, please call me up.
Get rid of at Kayla Anderson TV. You've pretty much peaked on there. It's at Donut Monster.
At Donut Monster TV.
That right there, that's got like YouTube channel written all over it.
I might get you the
big time right there.
I could do my background as like all these like cool, colorful donuts with just my face in the middle of a donut.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my face is that round. It pretty much looks like
pull
a big
it off.
Donut.
Yeah, you could. You'd have to tie the hair back.
Yeah.
Unless it wasn't a fresh donut.
If you, if you
donut,
looked at me like 15 years ago, you'd be like, that is one donut head right there. Holy smokes, do I have... I mean, I have lost a lot of baby fat in my face, thank goodness, but my... I don't even look the same.
I don't even know where
I looked like a baby face for most of my career. Just go look up some of my old stuff.
Now she's a heel.
What's a heel? What's a heel?
Babyface is a...
Oh, yeah. Well,
good
the
wrestler.
Producer. Oh, okay.
Heel is a bad
I thought you were
wrestler.
Talking about a
producer. So you said, I've lost a lot of baby face. I used to be a baby face. Like, now you're a heel.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you're a heel. That's right. You cover the local sports.
It's gonna be
that needs to go on page one.
I used to do that all the time with my brother.
I'm not gonna do mine because I used to think mine was good, and it may still be, but I'm not gonna do it again. I'm back to just having H. John Benjamin and nothing else in my. And that's because my voice sort of sounds like that when I get louder. We're walking through the mall yesterday, which is still a thing that exists. It closes earlier.
I didn't
now.
Know that the mall existed.
It does. We were in Cool Springs Galleria.
Mm-hmm.
Their stores are still there. They close early, and some of them close late, and some of them open late. It's weird.
Yeah,
mall situation is just odd all over the place. Mm-hmm. Stuff's closing at 7. Some are closing at 9. Some aren't open until noon.
So they do their own thing.
Yeah, there's no uniformity to it at all. And we were talking about slides and shoes in the last segment. She goes, well, you know what the new trendy shoe is? Because she jokes that that's going to be me, that I always go for a trendy deal. And it's like, that's the opposite of me, I think. But she goes, hey, dude. And I said, they just don't look good to me.
Yeah.
They look like a cross between Toms and Sperry's.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
It's like Southern frat boy. I'm going to wear these and go to a Zac Brown concert. No, I don't see myself in them. Will got Hey Dudes?
No, but I could picture him in those.
Oh, yeah.
Are you pro Hey Dude or anti Hey Dude?
No, I'm anti.
You don't like them either?
Mm-mm.
What's the look?
For what?
Like,
what I
like? What do you assume people that, like, Hey Dude owners, what's the, offend people in the chat that own Hey Dudes by describing what you assume they look like.
Like, nowadays, and I'm not around a lot of these type of people, but, like, frat dudes.
Okay, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Pop collars.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm not around any of those, so I don't know for sure, but that's what I'm kind of guessing.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to some people who say the most comfortable things in the world, it's just like, they don't look right to me.
Well, if they're comfortable, hey.
I mean, we discussed that before. Socks and slides.
No.
Well, Ron Slade's disappointed.
I know. Well, Ron Slade can pull it off. I'm just saying I could never pull off socks and slides. I think you have to be a particular person to pull it off.
I don't know about women pulling off socks and slides.
But I see it all the time here.
Women doing it?
All the time. With those, like, bike shorts. That's something also I will not do.
Bike shorts?
No. I'll do it in the privacy of my own home on the Peloton like I did one time when I was live.
Yeah, that's right. You want a horrible image. Moan bought bike shorts when he bought his Peloton. He told me, he goes, you might want to get some of these. I'm like, no, I might not. I'll get the padded seat that you suggested. I got the little seat cover.
Does his have a pad in his bike shorts?
Yeah, there's something. But he was talking about these aren't all that comfortable either. I'm like, it's not a comfortable image, Moan.
Excuse me?
O-line, I don't think bike shorts come in O-line size.
I think so, but nowadays you never know.
That's just a big giant like swath of nylon off a roll.
Can someone please get a picture of this?
Of Ramon in bike shorts?
On the Peloton.
I haven't seen him do a Peloton workout in a while. I think he's bailed on it a little bit.
Yeah, I love it. He's bailed on it? I'm giving a hard time. I'll let him enjoy today. I'll tweet at him tomorrow.
I haven't seen, because I get his workout updates unless something's changed. And I have not seen.
Well,
I have not seen the bike.
I'll be on him on that.
Have you done the lane break?
No.
Do you know what it is?
No.
The game that you can play on a Peloton.
Did not know that existed.
Yeah, you can set it up for however you want, and like you set up the resistance and all. It's like Tron. It's like these different lanes, and
you're kidding.
You turn by turning the resistance knob up and down.
It's on the Peloton.
Yes.
Okay.
It's called Lane Break.
I'll go and check this out. I just tried the Peloton Tread at my brother's for the first time.
How'd that work
really
out?
Really liked it.
Really?
Really liked it.
It's just a treadmill
it.
Though, right?
Yeah, but there was something about it. It was really smooth. And I've been on a lot of treadmills. It was really smooth. And I like the boot camps because I could jump right off, not have to take off my shoes.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get the because we're doing
the cycle
sports radio. I don't know how you get the multi-purpose workout stuff when you're wearing the shoes.
It's hard.
Because they go right to it. And it's like, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm going to do one thing, then we'll do the other
exactly. Because I'm doing it in my bare feet if I'm on the, because I take off my socks. And then I have to go put everything back on.
Yeah, that's why you got to get slides.
I know. Told you, I'm going to get them.
That's the way it goes. Shafe, you own any slides?
No.
Slippers. House shoes.
No, not anymore.
What do you get the newspaper in?
I don't get the newspaper.
You get it behind the paywall. There's actually an app in Google that breaks all the paywalls.
I haven't had a newspaper in a long time.
Once I found Unlocker, my life got better instantly.
Look at him with all the
bougie Brentwood having to illegally steal stuff. That's
it's
good.
It's an app through the Chrome store. Listen, Lars. Lars Ulrich. I'm not coming for your MP3s.
By the way, he wasn't wrong about that whole thing. If you think about it,
Lars.
Yeah,
I know you're a Metallica honk.
That's true.
It's possible I had terabytes of music.
Oh, I didn't say I didn't use Napster.
Oh, I remember that. I don't think I used it. My brother did.
I used it. I think there's a statute of limitations. If not, I mean, PAX, if you got to come get me, I understand. So we have dodged over the first 70 minutes of this program, even mentioning that quarterback that may or may not be playing this season in Cleveland.
Wow. No, sorry, breaking news. We just did that.
Yeah. Like I was about to say, there's no breaking news about that.
Well, but here's the real thing.
That is the breaking news.
That's it. Exactly.
There's nothing to report. It's going to be day three of the whole thing today. That's it.
I think that'll be the last day.
You wouldn't think it would have taken this long.
I still don't know. And I read that Florio piece on the air yesterday. I still don't know why he wrote that article at all. because he writes it and the headline is set to, oh, it's going to be 6 to 8 games at the end. I don't buy it. Like, but it's your article. Like, what?
Yeah.
Did you have to fire out that piece of content, Mike? Oh, yeah. I saw I was going to mention something about Doug Gottlieb. So Doug works at Fox, obviously, during commercial breaks. You don't hear him generally here on the Zone because there's, you know, local ads and all that kind of stuff. Avails, as they're called in the industry. During commercial breaks, if you just take the Fox feed on a national basis, and a lot of stations do because they don't have anything, or everything's automated and they don't have their own stuff sold and it's AMs and all this other kind of stuff. You hear best of cuts from the day before from all the Fox shows.
Mm-hmm.
Gottlieb might be the biggest provocateur on the entire network. Like Colin will step out on some takes, but Colin's usually pretty grounded.
Yeah.
For the most part. Doesn't mean he can get a lot wrong, but his stuff is usually pretty well founded. And some of the other guys, like some of the other guys are kind of clown shows in terms of the way that they operate.
Mm-hmm.
But Gottlieb always comes across like he has all these sources and he's smarter than everybody else. Sure. And here's what nobody's telling you that I'm going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that stuff is not proven out. And it's easy to do that when you don't have to be accountable if it's wrong.
Well,
and
yeah.
We've talked about that on this show before. Mm-hmm. Like that you can get away with hot takes forever as long as people are just coming for the hot takes and don't care whether or not they're true.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily saying Doug's lying or that Doug has been lying. I'm just saying that I don't necessarily trust sources when they're coming from him because he has sourced a lot of stuff that hasn't panned out.
And that's a big part. I mean, when you go to look at people on Twitter, or if you just in general on the TV, on radio, and you're hearing them say, my sources are saying, there are certain people like you're going, okay, this is true.
Yeah.
And then there's some people that you're going, there's a chance that this isn't.
Yeah, like when you hear
parts of it, maybe. But.
Like there's a lot of NFL guys where I kind of take what they say with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But then there's like Jeff Darlington.
Oh, yeah.
Who usually gets it right more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
But we've gotten to a place where Adam Schefter, I kind of wait a little while longer than I ever thought that I would
too.
When it comes to his stuff.
Yep.
And Gottlieb's just on that side where it's like, I need somebody other than Doug to corroborate what Doug said.
Mm-hmm.
Because Doug is willing to go out there maybe before every duck is in a row.
And say it.
Because it's interesting. I get why he would do it. Again, I'm not accusing him of anything nefarious. I'm just saying I'd like to hear that from somebody else.
Yeah.
That would say, yeah, what Doug's saying is exactly mm-hmm. right.
And there's people that have probably way better sources than Doug in that situation.
And it is interesting that the representation fired back statement said we're looking at legal options. If they actually follow through with that.
Then that's something.
I don't even know if it's actionable. I have no idea if it's actionable, but I do think it's interesting that an agent would come out and say that because that right there is shouting from the mountaintops. This mm-hmm. is not true. Mm-hmm. If you're firing a countersuit against a tweet.
Yep.
Basically. Social media, man. It's not mandatory.
Social media day. National social media day. Speaking of.
Good Lord. Worst day of the year. Gotta be, right?
You're not on Twitter anymore.
That's true.
Right?
This is what? Almost 6 months now.
Yeah.
I have not been on social media. It's a different universe. I talked about Completely it before. Different. The one thing about it, and I read this in a Wall Street Journal, and it's exactly right. The one thing is it's not a FOMO of what you're missing. It's the fact that nobody says, man, where are you? I haven't seen you on Twitter because it just keeps going and they just don't realize you're not there. Like most people don't even realize it. It's just like some people want to hear that they want to be missed. Mm-hmm. You're not missed when you leave Twitter. Twitter just keeps on rolling.
It's just another world.
You just basically have taken yourself out of the universe.
Yeah.
Taking yourself out of that cycle, which, you know, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not. Depends on what people are saying that day. Steve Palazzolo is 6'10", former minor league baseball player.
7 feet with the hair.
That's right. Because he's got a, does he have a Shaughnessy? He doesn't really have a Shaughnessy merm. Yeah. He's a former minor league baseball player.
He's got more of a poodle mullet.
Yeah, you called him a poodle yesterday. I'm going to see what he thinks of that off the top of the interview.
I don't think that
interview.
He's going to like that.
I don't care. He's got kind of poodle.
Don't compare me to a poodle. Don't
whoa,
do it.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's more disrespectful?
I wasn't calling you
a poodle. I'm saying just like in general, if anybody was to say that, right? I'd be like, if there's any dog, I am far from a poodle.
Is there a dog
okay.
that you I'm wouldn't be offended right by I'm if you were described as?
Wait, sorry, what?
Is there a dog that you wouldn't be offended as? Like if somebody were to describe you as a dog, which dog could they call you where you're like, oh, yeah, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that compliment.
I just love like a lab or a golden retriever, or I just love those. Like,
Schaefer's a pit bull,
for sure.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
You love pit bulls.
Yeah. I do.
Pit bulls are great dogs.
He called me a Rottweiler.
He called you a Rottweiler?
I just did, like a minute ago.
I think like a German.
I got me listening to you.
Maybe like a German Shepherd.
Rottweilers are beautiful dogs.
It is.
I don't know why we have to bring nationalities into this.
Oh my goodness. I'm thinking about getting a dog, you guys. You know my two passed, and so it's been about a year.
Cousin Andrew, boy, coming early. 8 o'clock is Bleep You Aaron Rodgers. He does hashtag Bleep You Jason Martin. You ain't missed when you're not on the show either. Can we get the boot to replace you? Nicely done, Andrew.
Wait, that was Cousin Andrew?
Then he called me a shih tzu.
Yes, wow.
That's good stuff, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even wait for 8. I guess that means Buck Rising's getting it at 8 today. We'll come back and Palazzolo will join us. We'll talk some NFL. It's Jay Martin Ramon with Caitlin for the Big Guy here on the Zone.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow. Nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
Jay Mart and Ramon, 104.5. So for some reason, this bed made me think you were about to give away something, Schaefer, or publicize something. This music bed seemed like a Mr. Schaefer bed.
That's a good call, but no, not this time.
But usually you do it at the end of the hour.
That's right. Know your clock.
I do know my clock. Don't come at me so strong all the time.
Wait a minute.
We have a relationship that reminds me of Palazzolo and Monson. To the Marks Payne Real Estate Hotline. Kayla Anderson, News 2 is in for Ramon, by the way. Steve Palazzolo, PFF, is with us. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning. What do Monson and I have as a relationship?
Don't you kind of have a frenemy-ish relationship, sort of? Like, it can be edgy from time to time on your podcast.
Sure, yeah. Just, you know, we're two different people, but we're friends overall.
Yeah,
but,
right.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I got to push back on him. You know, he can be ridiculous sometimes, so you got to push back.
That right there is how I describe my relationship with Jonathan Schaefer on a day-to-day basis.
That's how I describe my host.
That's exactly what's going on. So we have spent, I don't know, we've been on the air since 6, so we've been doing almost 83 minutes of radio this morning, Steve, and we've barely mentioned that quarterback that may or may not be playing in Cleveland. What's your sense of just the Browns situation as a whole? Not even just that side of it. But Baker and what he said in Norman, their backup quarterback situation, like how bad is this going right now?
I mean, seems pretty bad. I think the Browns should have maybe had an idea. They may have even calculated that this type of stuff was going to, you know, this is the way it was going to all go down. But, you know, I think the Browns just, they've got a really good team, a really good roster. They decided this was the move that they were going to make, and they're just going to have to deal with the consequences as far as whatever ends up happening with Deshaun Watson. I mean, I do think it's, from a Baker Mayfield standpoint, it is interesting that if Baker wants to, you know, maybe get change the perception around of him, his perception around the league, if Watson gets suspended for an extended period of time, that Baker might actually be better off staying in Cleveland, but you know, we've already got an outspoken Baker Mayfield, all the stuff that's already happened. It does seem like it'd be very, very difficult to reconcile. But I think Baker Mayfield can also look around and say, well, my alternative is going to Seattle, who's got one of the worst rosters in the NFL. Carolina, you know, not great. You know, Baker could look and say, I want to stay in Cleveland and make myself look good for a period of time before, you know, maybe going on to a different team. But also from a Cleveland perspective, I just don't think Jacoby Brissett's the guy that's going to lead them to a championship either. So it could be worth talking to Baker Mayfield if Deshaun Watson's out for a year or so.
Do you think Baker is going to play another down for the Cleveland Browns if you had to put money on it?
I would say no if I was putting money on it. But the more this is where Monson believes that it's possible. And I don't think it's crazy the more I talk about it, but I would definitely lean toward no, that ship has sailed and that Baker's going to be out of there at some point, you know, before training camp.
Do you feel like the fans would be really sympathetic if he came back after all of this? Because they've had to watch this. They haven't been part of it. And maybe they were down on Baker or whatever, but the way Baker was treated and the way that it's kind of turned full circle in his favor, don't you think potentially if he were to come back, he might get a giant ovation the first time that they saw him in Cleveland just for somehow coming out the other side of this and being there for that football team that right now looks like a disaster from a quarterback spot?
Well, yeah, I talked to some Browns fans around here because I'm in Cincinnati and you got some Browns fans around, and you know, they're not all down on Baker Mayfield sometimes because Browns fans haven't had a good quarterback since ever. They look back and they say, hey, you know, this is the guy that brought us to the playoffs. This is the guy that in the playoffs beat the Steelers. You know, there's some Browns fans who are like, we owe this guy, right? We didn't win a Super Bowl and maybe he didn't develop great in year four, but then they could also say in year four when he struggled, yeah, he played through injury, you know, he tried to battle through. So I think there's a lot of sympathy for Baker Mayfield for the Browns, and I do think he would be a popular figure. The other thing is, Baker's also one of those guys I think you want kind of playing a little angry, a little upset. You know, it might work better for him versus, say, Carson Wentz, who might not do as well when you bring in competition and drama and stuff like that. So it could work out for everybody if Baker Mayfield essentially allows the bridge to be mended and, you know, they decide to, you know, let him play.
I want to go down to Philadelphia, Steve, and I want to talk about something that Miles Sanders recently said. Obviously, A.J. Brown is still a topic of conversation here in Tennessee because of the way it all kind of happened here so quickly. People are still not over the fact that he's gone. So I guess Miles Sanders is saying, you know, A.J. Brown has us feeling like we are an all-star team. And those were his words, Miles Sanders' words. There's a lot of people who are now giving the Philadelphia Eagles a lot of attention, a lot of love because A.J. Brown is there. But realistically, is this team going to be on that level just because of A.J. Brown?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Eagles were already doing some nice things. And you look at what A.J. Brown brings. I mean, look, this offseason is just going to be fascinating because I think with A.J. Brown, with Devontae Adams, and with Tyreek Hill, three receivers who are incredible, all essentially making quarterback-esque type of money, we're going to see how much of an impact they can truly make, right? And mm-hmm. with Philadelphia, they have a first contract quarterback in Jalen Hurts, a guy that played pretty well overall last year. They got the running game going. I could see why the feeling is good in Philadelphia. They started slow. They got it together. They snuck into the playoffs. They became an excellent running team. Jalen Hurts developed, did pretty well. I think adding a monster like Jordan Davis on the interior in the draft probably helps the all-star feeling because the dude's 340 pounds and runs 4.8. So, look, I think the Eagles have done a lot of nice things, and I think receivers of A.J. Brown's caliber do just have just an incredible effect on the rest of the offense. So it's not 2011 Eagles super team hype or anything like that, but I think they're moving in the right direction and they're right there near the top of the NFC East with the Cowboys.
And that, do you believe like a player can have, and I know it's kind of an old word to use, but I think it's still relevant in having some swag that just anytime they're on the field, whether that be in practice or in a game, they bring like a type of vibe to the team. And I think we saw that with AJ here. Anytime he would even practice, there was just like a different energy with the team when he was out on the field opposed to when he wasn't. I mean, do you believe like one single player can bring that kind of energy or swag to a team?
I'm not great at analyzing swag, I just say that. But
all right, I thought you would be, Steve.
You didn't bring me on here for that kind of expertise. I would say I think receiver's the most important position on the field, yeah, other than quarterback. And I think a true number one wide receiver does have this force multiplier effect on the rest of the offense, and especially a run-first offense like the Eagles, or an offense that has a Devontae Smith on the other side, right? If you have Devontae mm-hmm. Smith to be wide receiver one, maybe that offense isn't good, but if you just knock him down a peg and AJ has games where he takes over, right? A couple of years ago against the Ravens, he forced like 8 missed tackles and just that was the, you know, that's, he swagged his way to victory, right? Right past the Ravens. But that's just him being awesome, right? Yeah. That's just him being incredible. And I don't think there's a position on the football field like receiver that other than quarterback, where you can take over a game. Not running back, not defense. Like I just think receiver, if you're that good, it does have that kind of effect. And I do think that's what A.J. Brown does bring to the table. No matter how you want to describe it, he is that good.
Yep.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, with us here this morning on J. Martin Ramon. So looking at the PFF rankings that were kind of in tandem with ESPN in terms of roster strength, the Eagles are number 7, the Titans are number 20. Where are the Titans if A.J. Brown is still a part of the team? Because if you, what you just said about wide receivers' importance to a team next to quarterback, and I would agree with you 1,000,000%, how much does the loss of A.J. Brown hurt the Titans' roster in the short term?
Oh, man. I think that there's two ways to look at it, right? It's A.J. Brown himself and then the replacements, right? The pressure that's on, say, a Treylon Burks or Robert Woods to replace that type of production. And it's not even just replacing it in the aggregate. It is that Ravens game. It is the, I think it was the Raiders game, maybe his rookie year, where he takes a, you know, 14-yard dig route and takes it 88 yards or whatever it was. I mean, it's replacing all of that. So it does have a big effect. And when you go through position groups and all that stuff, when you look at the best teams in the NFL over the last couple of years, you look at their receiving core and it's like, man, those guys are tough to cover, right? It's tough to cover that group of receivers plus tight ends and backs out of the backfield. And I think the Titans already had an issue in that department. You're trying to stitch it together with Robert Woods coming in and, you know, Austin Hooper in free agency and all that stuff. You already had, but even if A.J. Brown's there, you have a bit of a question mark. And then you lose him and you put some pressure on the rookie and Treylon Burks and trying to create that production. So I think it is a big factor. And then the other piece is with not paying A.J. Brown and paying a ton of money to, say, you know, Harold Landry and Bud Dupree and Zach Cunningham on the defensive side of the ball, Derrick Henry's obviously making his money. Robert Woods is making his money. You just look at where the resources are deployed. And, again, there's more pressure on a lot of these other players where I think maybe one A.J. Brown maybe has a bigger – impact even than two of those guys sometimes because of the way he plays the game. So I think it's a big factor as far as, you know, looking at roster rankings and all that.
So with what we do, we have to have opinions, and sometimes we have to kind of step out on a limb. My belief is that at the start of this year, Justin Jefferson will be the most complete best wide receiver in the NFL. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I don't think that's crazy. I mean, I think Justin Jefferson is the closest thing to Devontae Adams. As far as just unbelievable route running, ball skills, can win at every level of the field. And I think, you know, to me, I think Tyreek Hill is the guy that I want on my team more than anyone else, just because of how he dictates defenses. And AJ's up there as far as guys I want, and, you know, Devontae Adams and all that stuff. But I think Justin Jefferson, how good he was in just right off the bat as a rookie and then into last year, he can do it all. He can absolutely do it all. I don't know if I put him above Devontae Adams or Tyreek Hill or maybe even his former teammate Jamar Chase and what he brings to the table yet, but I think Jefferson has that ability to be, say, the next Devontae Adams, where you're like, hey, this guy's the best route runner, every level of the field, he's just going to win.
And then you look at, you know, the Bengals and the Chargers are two teams that I'm keeping an eye on. Certainly the Bengals coming back off the Super Bowl year. You guys know a little bit about Cincinnati at Pro Football Focus. We know that very well. But they may have a better team, may have a worse record. We've kind of discussed that on the air just because, look, they're playing a first-place schedule from a last-place schedule. They're not going to sneak up on anybody anymore. They're going to be expected to do this. And then I just have this sense, I have nothing to base it on, that the Chargers might be this year's Baltimore Ravens, where there is a ton of hype and there's a ton of talent on that roster. But if those guys can't stay healthy, especially playing in this just fire that is going to be the AFC West, I could see them potentially underperforming very lofty expectations in Justin Herbert's third year.
I think there's going to be a few teams in the AFC where that's the case. And by the way, with Tennessee, as much as you look at the roster and all that stuff, I know they were the number one seed last year. And I think Mike Vrabel has established himself as a guy that is able to elevate the team no matter what. So with the Chargers and the Bengals and other teams making flashy moves, you can't sleep on teams like the Titans. So the AFC is loaded, and that's the biggest issue. The Chargers and Bengals are two teams who have the rookie quarterback. We think they're both stars in Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. They're making moves with the extra money that you have with a first contract quarterback. So the Chargers get hyped up every year. I buy it every single year. I'm buying it again this year. But, yeah, it's going to be difficult because it is the AFC West. And the Bengals have the AFC North, where the Ravens are still probably the better team as far as, you know, projecting them going forward. And you still have a tough Steelers team and a tough Browns team. So there are going to be AFC teams who are really good on paper, maybe even really good football teams, but they win seven games. They win maybe eight games next year. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome watching the AFC because it's going to be so competitive. But yeah, on paper, darlings like the Chargers, like the Bengals, those types of teams could disappoint next year because of how loaded it is.
Does Mike Vrabel, reigning coach of the year, just keep, though, the Titans in the mix just for what he's done so far during his time at Tennessee and just what he expects out of his teams?
Yeah, I think so. Last year was one, it kind of put it over the top for me because of all the turnover that they had. I think they do a good job. I know he doesn't have he's not calling plays or anything like that, but they do a really nice job defensively as far as maximizing their talent, putting pressure on the quarterback. Vrabel reminds me a little bit of Mike Tomlin, you know, where I think you're going to get some level of consistency from him. He's going to get the most out of his roster. And there's not a lot of head coaches who truly separate themselves in the NFL, right? There's a few coaches you could trust at the top, and there's a lot of coaches who are going to be dependent on what they have talent-wise. And I think Vrabel is starting to establish himself as, hey, it doesn't matter. Whatever I have, we're going to find a way to win games. And last year was really impressive for the Titans. And I think Vrabel's put himself in that top echelon of head coaches based off what we've seen these last couple of years.
Good stuff, Steve. We always appreciate the time, brother. Thanks so much.
You got it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Indeed. Yeah, that's Steve Palazzolo. I tried to avoid the Colts, but that was going to be the other one because you talked about it. He said he mentioned, you know, he's always kind of buys into the Chargers hype. I think it's Albert Breer that said a few weeks ago he always buys into the Colts hype. And there's a lot of people that buy into the Colts hype. I'm buying into it this year. I think it's a one game difference between the Titans and the Colts in one direction or another. And the fact that those two games are being played before you get to November, because I don't know if you're getting a wild card out of the South. I just don't know. It just depends on what's going to happen in the West. I mean, they're going to beat each other to death.
That's the thing.
I mean, I'm a fan of one of those teams, and I'm sitting there saying we might have a great year and still not make the playoffs. That's what Steve was saying. But the Colts. Wentz to Ryan, to me, makes a massive difference.
Yeah, it does. And look, I'm not saying that, I mean, clearly Ryan is in the latter part of his career. He's done, I think, his best work. Mm-hmm. But with what they surround him with there, the type of team it is, which is very similar to the Titans. I've heard it time and time again from players up there, from people that are close to both organizations. They're very similar. They got a running back. Just really, really good. I think that, Matt Ryan makes them definitely better than Carson Wentz. Because Carson Wentz was, in my opinion, he was dangerous.
Yeah.
With the decisions that he made.
Dangerous fresh. For the Colts?
No. Like, not a good thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Dangerous for them to have at quarterback. Yeah. Because he was going to do as many things to hurt you as help you.
Absolutely.
Kind of stuff. Is it Nithin? Nitten. Nitten in Florida. Nitten, what's going on?
Hey, Kayla. Hey, guys. How you doing? Good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. She and Kayla, remember, we had Kayla on our show two times, 2 years ago, and then I think this year. So it's good to talk to you again, Kayla.
Yeah, you too, man.
Good, man. Good.
Yeah, so real quick, I just want to talk about the NFL offseason and also the Tennessee Titans, but as a fellow sports journalist like you guys, man, what a exciting offseason it was, covering all these news and breaking news. So I'm really looking forward to see how these pieces fit with each team. Like, for example, with the Tennessee Titans making a move with A.J. Brown, moving him, and then also Davante Adams going to Las Vegas. So it's going to be interesting to see how these pieces fit. And I can't wait for the season to start. But for the Tennessee Titans, I think in my opinion, I can't wait for Malik Willis. Obviously, he has a year, more to learn for him in the development process, in my opinion. So I feel like Ryan Tannehill will get the start here to begin the season. But I wouldn't be surprised if Malik Willis puts the pressure on Tannehill and to see how he does in the training camp and whatever in practices. And I cannot wait to see the offense once Malik Willis is ready. The offense will be legit with Derrick Henry and Treylon Burks. Everybody's sleeping on him. He's underrated. So with his size and speed, and also you had Derrick Henry and the rest of the weapons, I think the Titans will be fine.
They may be, Nin. I would not get my hopes up about Malik Willis playing this year. We said that before.
Or like, at least not regularly.
I think it's some packages they could put him in on.
Right.
Just to get him some reps.
Right.
Is he the future? We don't know yet. Would people like him to be? Sure. He's an athletic quarterback. I mean, it's going to be a little bit of a different offense if he ever gets that position.
Yes.
But it's still a little ways out to determine that. And I still think Logan Woodside going into the season for sure is the backup because they love Logan. Mm-hmm. Logan Woodside. Yes. He has beat out every other backup that has tried to come in and get that number two spot.
One thought about the Colts and Titans. We go to break. Maybe we can talk about this to end the hour. And then, by the way, it's Bleep You Aaron Rodgers time at 8.
Oh, well, you're so excited.
I want to add one thing about that phone call. There is one person who's a sports journalist on this show right now, and that's Caleb. The other two people are just a couple of idiots.
That's right. I'm a dude who gets paid to talk, and I have no idea why.
Sports journalist.
Well, no thanks, idea
guys.
Why.
I appreciate that.
To that point, just to throw this out there. Yeah, man. So did I. Schaefer, did you go to school for it?
Yes.
Okay.
Technically,
we have the credentials.
Technically, you are.
Colts, Titans. Does the division come down to which one signs the right veteran wide receiver over the next month before the season begins? We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. 615-737-1045. You can also start to get ready. It's time to gripe at the top of the hour with Bleep You Aaron Rodgers. It's Jay Martin Ramon here on The Zone.
Bleep You Jason Martin.
Post Malone bringing his The 12-Carat Tour to Nashville's Bridgestone Arena with special guest Roddy Ricch October 16th. 104.5 The Zone has your chance to be there. Sign up for your chance to win tickets today. 104.5thezone.com.
Thank you, Mr. Schaefer. Bleep You Aaron Rodgers coming up at 8. 615-737-1045. Your chance to get something off your chest. Somebody's doing something. I've written three in the last 2 minutes.
Ooh, man. People are ready to go.
On fire.
What day is it?
Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
It's a day.
Whew.
It definitely feels like a Friday.
Doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Zach Bunch just called me Host Malone.
Hey,
that's good.
I don't think it was a compliment.
You need to get some tattoos on here.
Nope.
Like all over.
Nope. By the way, Zach Bunch. And?
F the Colts.
big Colts fan over there.
Oh, huge.
So who's out there? We talked about this before. Julio, Emmanuel Sanders.
T.Y.,
who I don't want any part of. I love T.Y.
I liked him too, but he's done.
He can't stay healthy.
Done.
And if he's going to play anyway, he should just play for Indy again.
Yeah.
And then what, Beasley,
mm-hmm.
which some people like the idea of that. I don't know. Emmanuel would be the one that would make the most sense to me, but I don't know that the answer is there. And I threw that topic out. I don't know if that's true, but I know that both teams, there are accusations that they are thin at wide receiver.
Yeah.
Are you more likely to have someone emerge?
Will Fuller. Yes. Another one.
As a Josh Malone, than you are dipping back into the market.
I'm sorry, I just missed
Say
what
that
you
one
said.
More time.
Are you more likely for the Titans to have one of your depth guys emerge as a bigger player than actually going out into the market and spending money that, you don't really want to?
The
way that they do things, I feel like they give these guys an opportunity to do that.
They did it last year with Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers
I'm thinking they're expecting bigger things from Des Fitzpatrick this year.
The way that it's looking, they are badly wanting him to play a bigger role
desperately,
whether or not he can make
chances of that happening,
right? And whether or not he can make that type of jump. I've heard that he has put in the work, that he is picking things up on a much faster pace than what we saw last year, where it seems to just be way far over his head. And that's no offense to the kid, but like, it just sometimes you come in as a rookie, it doesn't work. Like, it takes a while. But that's going to have to be seen right away, in my opinion, in training camp. That's going to have to happen. You're going to have to see that pretty much from the get.
I'm just starting to think that they're not going to dip back into the market.
No, I'm
starting to think maybe they aren't either. Yeah. Odell is the other one, obviously.
And not that there's a ton of great options, to be fair.
No, a lot of them are old. A lot of them have injuries. And is it, maybe to bring in veteran presence, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, look, you're hoping Robert Woods is going to be that guy, and he's coming back from an injury. I'm like, Will Fuller's never healthy. He's had that problem his whole career, too.
Exactly.
Just like, Beasley hasn't been too much of a health risk. Julio's just done, I think. Maybe if he goes in place of Matt Ryan.
You don't see him in Tampa.
I see him more in Indianapolis than I do Tampa. Yeah. Even though he understands the division, if he goes to Tampa, he played the NFC South pretty much his whole career. So you could do it that way. Those are probably the only two places I could even see. Emmanuel was the only one that still...
Yeah.
That dude's played the Super Bowl in recent years. He's played multiple Super Bowls in his career. He's made every team he's played for better. He's a guy that... He's an older version of Nate Washington.
Yes.
In terms of a teammate, and in terms of people liking being around him and all of that kind of thing.
He's 35.
Yeah, he's not 55.
No.
But 35 is... Julio. You signed Julio at 33, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So... He's played a lot of football in his life, but he's always left places in a good spot. Like, he's somebody that you could see. I haven't looked at his stats in recent years, but the last time I checked, he was still pretty valuable. Look, he had 626 yards and 4 touchdowns last year.
Okay.
You'd take that if you're a Titan.
Yeah, I think so.
For sure. He played in 14 games, he started in 13 for Buffalo, had 626. The year before with the Saints, he had 726. So he's moved around because he's gotten to that point this year where you're signing him for a year.
Yeah.
And then he takes another deal somewhere else and, moving on. He would be the guy. If you could get him for the right money, I could see Emmanuel Sanders being a Tennessee Titan and that being a good move. The rest of these names?
No.
Not really.
Mm-mm.
Not really. But Emmanuel's a little bit different. Still very productive at 34 years old. He's played for five different
34?
Teams. Yeah, he's 30. Well, he's 34 last year when he was playing. So yeah,
he's
35 now.
He turned in March, I think.
Yeah. So look, Schaefer's 41. I'm not signing him. But Emmanuel Sanders 35. I'd consider signing him.
Dude, I wouldn't sign me.
I wouldn't sign me at 25.
All these guys that are above 30.
There's a reason they're out there. Coach Mack says that all the time, and he'll join us in the 9 o'clock hour. There's a reason why those guys are out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about them, and a lot of it, it's just age, and some of it is injury history. But this is a dude that has, he's played, he started 122 games in a league out of 172 that he's played. He has played double figure games in most of his entire career. He's played at least 11, if not 12 games a season. At his age, he played 14 both of the last 2 years and started 13 last year for a team that could have won the Super Bowl. So you could do worse is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I guess what I've ended up doing is campaigning for Emmanuel Sanders to be a Titan. I don't think they're going to sign anybody necessarily either, but he would be the answer, I think.
I'm looking at the whole pool of everybody out there, like you said.
I'm sorry. I didn't interrupt you.
I'm just saying that would be the only guy.
Yeah.
I think now you've kind of convinced me too. If I'm looking at the whole pool, that'd be the only guy that I'd go with.
I don't think anybody gets signed until you get into training camp and you see what your injury issues are.
Yeah. I mean, people are going to get hurt, and that's also where a Baker Mayfield could end up landing later.
Exactly.
If it doesn't happen over the next few weeks or whatever else. And maybe that's the best option for the Colts. I don't know.
Well, I don't know, for the Browns. I don't know if you guys remember this last year in training camp, but I remember the wide receiver group and just how deep it was in training camp. And we were all like, wow, there's so many guys here. Like, how many are they going to keep? Because everybody was kind of performing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Julio, of course, that got hurt early and he wasn't really there. But there were all these other guys stepping up. And then as much as you thought that position was deep, in a second it was gone. Guys dropped like flies.
That's right.
And it's just going to be interesting going into this year, watching that position with a lot of question marks still surrounding the wideouts.
That's right. And that's what a losing A.J. Brown, it just puts more on everybody else to make up for that. And they may well do it. Bleep you, Aaron Rodgers. after the headlines. We begin griping. You can get on the line to gripe. 615-737-1045. 737-1045 is the telephone number. I got a list. As a matter of fact, I think I just added another one to it in my head. Oh, I'll talk for an hour and just gripe. And then everybody else can just fire back that it's me.
That it's you.
Yeah, that's right. It's Jay Martin, Ramon, 1045 The Zone.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.